Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amsuman, Text Number 29. Esha hi brahmano vidvams, tapa shila gunanvitaha, hari radya yishor brahma, mahapurusha samgitam, Esha, this, he, indeed, brahmana, a qualified brahmana, vidvan, learned in Vedic knowledge, tapa, austerity, shila, good behavior, guna anvita, endowed with all good qualities, Ari Radha Yishu, desiring to be engaged in worshiping Brahma, the Supreme Brahman, Mahapurusha, the Supreme Person, Krishna, Samgitam, known as Sarabhuta, of all living entities, Atmabhavena, as a supersoul, puteshu, in every living entity, antarhitam, within the core of the heart, gunai, by qualities. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Here is a learned, highly qualified brahmana, engaged in performing austerity, and eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord, the Super Soul who lives within the core of the heart and all living entities. Purport. The wife of the brahmana did not regard her husband as a superficial brahmana, who is called a brahmana merely because he was born of a brahmin family. Rather, this brahmana was actually qualified with the brahminical symptoms, yasya yal lakshana proktam. The Bhagavatam 7.11.35. The symptoms of a brahmana are stated in the Shastra. Samadhamatapa socham shantir arjuram evacha jnanaviganam astikyam brahma karma samavijam. Peacefulness, self-controlled austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, wisdom, knowledge, and religiosity. These are the qualities by which the brahmanas work. The Bhagavatam 18.43, 42 actually. Not only must the brahmana be qualified, but he must also engage in actual brahminical activities. Simply to be qualified is not enough. One must engage in the brahmana's duties. The duties of a brahmana is to know the Param Brahma, Krishna, Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. Because this brahmana was actually qualified, was also engaged in brahminical activities, brahma karma, killing him would be a greatly sinful act. And the brahmana's wife requested that he not be killed. So the translation again. Here's a learned, highly qualified brahmana, engaged in performing austerity and eagerly desiring to worship the Supreme Lord. The super soul lives within the core of the heart in all living entities. Here is an important point, as it says in the 7th canto, 11th chapter, that yasya yal lakshana proktam, yasya yal lakshanam proktam, that one has to judge a thing by its symptoms. For instance, dharma is that which is inherent within something. Prabhupada said if you have sugar and it tastes salty, it's not sugar. Or if you have salt, it tastes sweet, it's not salt. Similarly, fire cannot be cold. And fire has to give off light. That's the dharma. Similarly, there are symptoms that we can judge who's on what level of consciousness. Now, generally speaking, people are quite lazy in their intelligence, and therefore they rather judge everything by their own sentiment. That's called sentimentalism or fanaticism. Or as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, that blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. One should not only hear submissively, but one should get a clear understanding through submission, service, and inquiries. Now, even to hear submissively is quite a great advancement, to actually listen to what's being said. Now, no one can see except for the super soul and maybe some highly advanced yogis what we're thinking. And that's a good thing. Otherwise, we'd probably never come to the temple. We'd be too embarrassed. Well, he's a devotee, I better hide. He might see what I'm thinking. On the other hand, we should actually be conscious of what we're thinking. And when we're not, for instance, during kirtan, we at least should judge whether I'm listening or not. Now, we may put on a show of being greatly enthusiastic about the kirtan as our mind wanders into some other subject matter. But we have a responsibility, we have to be sincere enough to see whether I'm actually listening, which is not the perfection of life. It's just to try to hear what was said. Or as I've mentioned many times, if we actually heard something, then we should be able to repeat it. If we haven't and not able to repeat it, what was the value? If you, just like there's a demon named Rahu. You've all heard of Rahu? You've heard of Rahu? Mataji? No. Rahu is a demon. And there was a pastime where Krishna was in the form of Mohini, was distributing nectar to both the demigods and the demons. And Mohini was enchanted the demons so that they wouldn't get any of the nectar. She'd give all the nectar to the demigods. But one of the demons, his name was Rahu, Surbhanu actually, I think it's Surbhanu, he was intelligent enough to understand that Mohini Murti was actually cheating the demons, and so he snuck in between the sun and the moon, so in the guise of a demigod, in order to get some of the nectar. But both the sun and the moon they told on Rahu. And Svabhanu, the demon Svabhanu. And Vishnu, with his Susan chakra, cut off the head of the demon. But because the demon had already drunk some of the nectar, Amrita, therefore his head became immortal. Which is pretty good, if your head isn't. But unfortunately his body, Ketu, was dead, but spiritual. He hit by the spiritual. By the Sudasan Chakra, you become spiritualized. Even if you have a dead body, it's still spiritual. But when we can imagine, if you don't have a body, you eat something, then it just falls out. It's very hard to get fat when you don't have a body. There's no digestion. So see, if we hear something and we don't remember it, it's just like eating something without having a body. It just falls through. And it had no real nutritional value. Now, if we do remember it, that's all right. A lot of parrots can remember things too. They may be doing better than us in that way. They probably pay more attention. It's part of their nature to repeat what they've heard. But just repeating like a parrot doesn't really allow us to enter into the mystery of what's being said. The experience of what's being said. Because Vedic knowledge at least carries with it an experience of transcendence. So if we hear something, remember it, and we don't experience transcendence, then we haven't really understood what we've heard. So in order to do that, we have to evaluate what we heard from different angles. We have to see it in such a way it becomes visible to us with at least with our intelligence. We can in other words, we understand it through assimilation of different perspectives. At least we get a perspective on it, what it actually was talking about. Then, for instance, Krishna says, Vidya Vanaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Swapakecha Pandita Samadarshana. The learned sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the learned and gentle Brahman. Actually, the humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge. It's the humble sages, I'm sorry. The humble sages, by virtue of true knowledge, see with an equal vision the Brahman, the cow, the elephant, the dog, and the dog eater. So what does that mean? So there are so many instructions in Bhagavad Gita to explain to us what it means. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshvaram vinasva vinashantam yak pashyati supashyati. The one who can see the soul, the super soul accompanying the soul in all bodies, and equal everywhere. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshvaram vinashyava, does not have a destructive mentality. Vinashyava and sees that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructive body is ever destroyed. So another perspective on the same thing. One who can see this Supreme Lord accompanies the living entity in all bodies, and neither the body nor the perishable body, nor the soul or the super soul is ever destroyed. I should say that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is destroyed. In other words, it's neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is destroyed. So that's another perspective. Not just to look out and see, well, this Brahman, the cow, the dog, in some way or another, the soul within the bodies are all equal. But neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is destroyed. So we're going to be around for a long time, in other words. We might as well get used to being eternal. The problem is that our lives are not living, we're not living in eternity, we're living in this temporary world. Our consciousness is merged in this imaginary world, and therefore we're living life as in an imagination rather than in reality. And we can do that forever if we want. But we're eternal, so why not live an eternal life rather than an imaginary, temporary life full of misery? And then Krishna says, Samam Pashani Sarvatra, Samavasitam Ishvaram, Nahinastyatmanatmano, Tatoyati Param Gitim. That when he sees the soul, the super soul accompanying the soul in all bodies, does not degrade himself by the mind, and thus approaches the transcendental destination. In other words, if we look at people's external activities, we're going to be disturbed in so many ways, either by appreciating what they're doing externally and becoming enamored by what they're doing externally, or becoming averse to what they're doing externally, or indifferent. We're going to become merged in another way in the material nature and forget about the important element, the soul. And when we forget about the soul, we actually think people are accomplishing something by just doing something externally, or they're doing something bad externally, and therefore they're eternally going to hell, whatever the current philosophy we may hold is. But actually the activities externally of the soul, of this body, have really very little to do with the soul unless they're engaged in some kind of advancement either to a higher mode of material nature or directly engaged in Krishna's service. Otherwise, they're used pretty much everyone, whether they're thinking I'm a nice person, I'm giving in charity, or they think I'm a very bad person, I'm stealing. Whatever they're thinking, they're just neglecting the self, the soul, and the super soul. So one should see that, and that way think, oh, this poor soul, He's not engaged in Krishna service. He's just wasting his time. This soul, he's not so much engaged in Krishna service, but at least he's engaged in Krishna service. So that much discrimination we have to have. That's a perspective. And that will help us stop degrading ourselves with our mind. Because our minds will come up with so many reasons to think, see everything except for Krishna. Here's a fool, here's a great sage, here's this and that. Here's so many different things, but where's Krishna in all of this? And if Krishna's not in there, then it's called we're in Maya. However nice a Maya we may be in, or how bad a Maya we're in, still we're in Maya. We're actually in delusion, because we've forgotten about the essential element, Krishna, behind everything. And therefore our consciousness is covered by our material conception of life. Therefore, we're trying to get a perspective so we include Krishna in it. Not sentimentally, but factually. That we see here is a soul. They're engaged in Krishna service. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, they're better than all the other souls because at least they chant Hare Krishna. And here is a soul. He's just been awarded the Nobel Prize for some kind of chemistry or whatever, of trying to prove that life comes from matter. He's just wasting his life and getting other people to waste their lives too. So that one person who's chanting Hare Krishna, he's better than all these other personalities who are just wasting their life. So that's perspective. The one who can see the soul, the super soul company, all the souls, that here the super soul is guiding the soul to chant Hare Krishna. And therefore he's getting some of Krishna's mercy. And here's a soul. Krishna is giving him so much intelligence how to put on a show in the material energy, but he's just wasting his time. So that's perspective. And then we can actually see who to appreciate, who to follow. Mahajana yena katasa panta. Because the fact is, we're followers. We have our heroes. We have our persons that we actually admire, that we want to acquire their qualities. Everyone has a Mahajan. If you're in the mode of ignorance, then someone like Ravan is a Mahajan. After all, if you can steal the wives of all the demigods throughout the universe, maybe you could have a good time in the material world. Ravan would be a hero to such a person. And Haranyakashipu, if you could become immortal, supposedly immortal by your austerity and conquer the universe, then maybe he's your hero. Who else has gone is close to immortality, getting the benediction? Haranyakashipu. And if you're in the mode of passion, you want to accumulate wealth for sense enjoyment, then maybe Bill Gates is your hero, or Elon Musk is your hero. And you'll take classes from him to find out how he became such a big possessor of wealth. And in the mode of goodness, maybe you become an environmentalist or whatever else, and you protect the whales and the porpoises and the penguins. So they become your hero. Or if we take a Mahajan, a devotee who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we may acquire the qualities of a devotee, like Prabhupada. How he was spreading Krishna consciousness. How he was explaining to people what is Krishna, what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, in a way that they could apply within their lives. And how do we know that? Because otherwise, how did we get here? We just didn't pop in here out of nowhere. It's because Prabhupada showed us how to apply this philosophy within our lives. And we did it at least enough to get some experience of Krishna consciousness, so we come back for some more. So that's only perspective. But if we can get a perspective, that's the beginning of being able to apply that perspective within our lives and go beyond just externally performing our service. We can actually try to acquire some good qualities, because we'll be able to observe what are good qualities And what are not good qualities? Here it mentions just brahminical qualities, which are not even transcendental. Sama dhamma tapha socham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma sabhavajam. So these are just qualities in the mode of goodness. Now we want to transcend, and transcending, when do we transcend? We're going to wait for the Vaikuntha airplane to come, and then we'll transcend. Is that what we mean by transcendence? Oh, transcendence is so far away, and I'm so low, you know, forget it, I might as well be in Maya, I'm just it's too impossible, you know. I'm just too fallen. Transcendence, too far away, you know. The mode of goodness, oh, forget it. Passion, oh, maybe I can get up to passion if I try. Ignorant, oh, I feel very comfortable. Ignorant, yeah. My constitutional position. No, transcendence can be had immediately, in a moment. We lose it usually soon afterwards, but we can become transcendental in a moment just by paying attention, just by focusing our mind on transcendental subject matters. Then we're in transcendence. We can do it at any moment. And in order to do that, we need certain qualities, like sama, equanimity. That here's someone, I hate them. Here's someone, I love them. Here's someone I'm competing with. So many different things that Krishna explains. Sarin madhya udasinama dyastadvesha bandishu. Sadushva pichapapeshu sama buddhira vishishate. Person has said to be further advanced when he regards everyone. Sarin, the honest well-wisher. Mithya, the friend. Not such a close friend, but a friend. Sarin madhya udasinama. Is udasina. Surit, well-wisher by nature. Mitya, benefactors with affection. Ari, enemies. Udasina, neutrals between belligerents. Midyasta, mediators. Oh, that's Midyasta. Udasina is neutrals between belligerents. Midyasta, mediators between belligerents. So there are so many different conscious types of consciousness we can have. We can be Ari to some people. We can be friends to some people. We can become Mitya, more or less. Well-wisher is closer. Mitya is not as close, but it's a benefactor with affection. Or Ari, an enemy. Or we can have Udasya. We can be a neutral between belligerents. Or Midyasta. We can actually become a mediator, trying to get people together. Bandishu, even a close friend. So there's so many relationships we have with others, and we can see those relationships, they're real, they can be changed in a moment, but we should also understand that there's a soul within everyone's body, and my actual relationship, if I want to establish it permanent, if I relate to someone permanently, it should be on the basis of the soul, not on the basis of some of the external relationship. Therefore, if I'm really someone's friend, then yari de katari kaha krishna upadesh amar aga gurahara hanatare desh. Then I'll actually try to help them become Krishna conscious. I'll pray to Krishna, I'll search for the memory, for the instructions, so I can help this person, this devotee, or even an ordinary person become Krishna conscious. If I'm actually want to be a well-wisher, as Krishna is our well-wisher, so we should, as his representatives, we should be others' well-wisher also. Otherwise, do we really want to be a servant of Krishna, his representative? Or we want to be friends to some people, enemies to others, and once in a while I chant Hare Krishna. So this, by this perspective, we can acquire qualities, equanimity, sama dhamma, and if we have an equal mind, we won't be so nervous all the time. Why do people eat too much? Because they're nervous. If you fill your stomach up with food, then the mind doesn't, that's all the mind will think about. It'll stop thinking about all your problems. They'll just think about that. There won't be enough blood in the brain to think about anything. We'll just think about digestion. We'll feel nice and relaxed as the blood rushes to our stomach for digestion, and all our worries will go away because we won't have enough intelligence to worry about anything. So if we become nervous by having our minds agitated, then we won't be able to control our senses, especially the tongue. Then we'll call our friends and tell them all our problems. Or we'll eat too much. Or we won't be able to eat, we'll lose our digestion. And therefore we'll become imbalanced. Samadatapa. And where's there any question of austerity? If our minds and senses are agitated, it's very difficult to perform austerity, etc. So without perspective, without seeing things properly, it's very hard to develop the brahminical qualifications and experience them with conviction that I'm actually convinced that I'm eternal and that I should develop all these brahminical qualifications. I should become skillful in my devotional service, so I actually wash my hands before I take prasadam. And even if we think our hands are clean, we should get up and wash them again after we take prasadam. This is called skill. Then we can actually think about Krishna with devotion. And if we become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, become Krishna's instrument, then we'll display all the qualities of an advanced devotee. Not that we become great souls independently of the fact that we're in contact with Krishna. Just like this little spark doesn't become great by its own. It only becomes great because it's in contact with the fire again. So when we become permanently in contact with Krishna, or steadily in contact with Krishna consciousness, then the result is that we display all the good qualities of devotees. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavata kinchana savaganas tatra samasute sara hara vaktasya kutomata maha manorite nasati davato bahi. Yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana. One who becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness displays all the good qualities of the demigods by Krishna's mercy. And if we don't become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we're hovering on the mental platform, and although we may wash our hands one day, the next day when we're in anxiety, we forget about it. So it's not that we're just washing our hands to put on a show. We're washing our hands because it's part of the process by which we can actually develop the brahminical quality to have a peaceful mind and therefore think of Krishna steadily. And when we see ourselves, when we see others, we should observe and appreciate the good qualities that they have. That way we can develop them within ourselves. And if we don't see any role model who has any good qualities, then we'll simply remember our past associations and follow on with our present not so good qualities derived from our past association. So we have to take advantage of our present association, see how they excel us in some ways, in cleanliness, sama, and equanimity, or control of the senses and mind, or austerity, or cleanliness, etc., and try to exemplify their good qualities and follow their instructions so we can become capable of putting into practice these good qualities in our own life, and therefore become more eligible to focus our mind on Krishna and give our love to Him. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. She's first. You're second.
Okay, thank you. How to control emotions, sentiment?
What kind of emotion?
If we have too much sentiment, emotion.
Sentiment.
Yeah.
With intelligence. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter 3, text number 4, religion. What is that verse? It's the third verse, actually. Just check and make sure it's the third verse. Yep, it's the third verse. Lokesmin dvivida nishta puro. Lokesmin dvivida nishta puro proktamayanaka. Jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yogina. And Prabhupada writes, religion without philosophy is just sentiment or fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is just dry speculation. So the way we can take care of our emotions, we change them with philosophy, with knowledge. As I was saying today, that we see, and generally our sentiments are directed towards others, some kind of living entity. We can have a dog and, foo, foo, I love you. Foo. That's also a sentiment. But foo, foo is a dog. Although there's a soul within the body, foo, foo is still a dog. And when he licks you, after licking his behind, is not exactly Brahminical. If you ever observe a dog, he's very indiscriminate about where his tongue goes. So when he licks you, then you get all his remnants, or some of them. Therefore, we should see, well, why should I have, you know, I'm in love with Fufu, but what is that love going to bring me? It's not going to be very auspicious. So maybe if I have this Fufu, maybe I shouldn't be so intimately connected with him. Similarly, with other living entities, we have to judge what our feelings are, whether they're actually in Krishna's service, in Krishna consciousness, if I'm seeing things properly, or I'm just being carried away by my imagination. Here's a person, I hate them. Why do I hate them? Because usually they're not giving me what I want. But why should I worry if they not get, this is Krishna's arrangement. Krishna doesn't want me to get this thing, so he's not supplying that thing through that person, so why should I hate him? What do I really need it for anyhow? So we use our intelligence, we examine our emotions in Krishna's service, according to Krishna philosophy, then the emotions can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. We can hate the enemies of Krishna, the enemies of the devotees, but we shouldn't hate the devotees. It's misdirected, that's all. We should know when to utilize our lust, anger, etc. properly, rather than being carried away by them. Does that make sense? So that requires reading the books, associating with the devotees, trying to understand things properly. So when our minds get into certain emotions, and we experience that we were absorbed in those emotions, we analyze them, tolerate them, and see how to go forward in a more positive way. Anything else? Yes, here.
Hare Krishna. Wonderful class. Just my humble request on things. Prabhupada said our society will be all the become a brahmana.
Our society will be what?
All the devotees become a brahmana quality.
Well, Prabhupada certainly wanted that to happen.
And then some have mind to how will we become a Vaishnava? Because Vaishnava have 26 quality. And Brahmana have 9 qualities.
Well, first of all, Prabhupada didn't expect everyone to become a Brahman in our society, because it's just not possible. To become a Brahman is not so easy.
Yeah.
Because the chanting of Hare Krishna can raise us, but then we have to be willing to actually chant Hare Krishna. And as long as our activities are not Brahminical, then our chanting won't be so effective. So it's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? So first we have to refine our activities first, such as washing our hands before we eat, you know, having a regulated life, and then we can actually chant Hare Krishna with some feeling, some attention and feeling, and then we might get Krishna's mercy, and some of our past bad habits may be washed away, our contamination, by the holy name, by Krishna's mercy. Then we may come to a higher platform of consciousness, a higher mode of nature. As the as Krishna says, that he gives us intelligence if we're trying to be steadily engaged in worshiping with love. First he gives intelligence, and when he sees that we're actually using the intelligence and passing the trials, the tests that he puts forward, then he, out of compassion, he enlightens us. He reveals himself, and we come under the influence of the internal energy which purifies the past contamination. So we have to follow the process. Then we can gradually be elevated to the brahminical platform. And from there, then we can become qualified to become one day a Vaishnava. At the stage of liberation, which is Mamtaya, or is it? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madhvaktim Levate Puram. One comes to the stage of Brahma Bhuta, he becomes joyful. He never laments nor hankers to have anything. He sees all living entities as equal, as on the spiritual platform. Then he can begin real devotional service and become a Vaishnava. So until we become to the platform of actually brahminical behavior, come to the platform of liberation, nishta, ruchi, asakti, then at the platform of uttama bhakti, bhava and prema, then we can actually be Vaishnavas at those platforms. But now we're aspiring to become a Vaishnava or Vaishnavi. Yes.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. I was wondering if we are making services and we are attentive to all the details and we are trying to do our best and to do things better and better. Is this fanatism? I was accused that I am fanatic and I don't know how to deal with this.
Well, you think about Krishna while you're doing it? Are you doing it for Krishna?
Yeah, I want all the small details.
So why should one person's pure devotee is another person's fanatic. You can't, if you want to get the praise of everyone, then you've drawn the wrong movement. If you want, you should do things to please your spiritual master, Prabhupada, the Supreme Succession, Krishna, not for the admiration of other people. Otherwise, you'll become bewildered. Just like the man and the boy on the horse. So a man and a boy were riding on a horse through a town, and everyone started to criticize them, because first the man was on the horse, and the boy was walking. So the town people criticized the man and the boy, why is it that this poor boy is walking, and this man is on the horse? So in order to avoid criticism, the next town they went through, the man was walking and the boy was on the horse. And then the people started to criticize that why is this poor man walking and this boy is on the horse? So then they both got on the horse and went through the next town. And people criticized, why is this poor horse having to carry this man and the boy? So then they walked through the next town and they both walked. And everyone was laughing. He said, just see these foolish people, they have a horse and they're walking. So if you want to please people, everyone, then you'll never be able to do it. And if you try and please Krishna and his representatives, that's possible. Thank you very much. Grant Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.